A good Erev Shabbos. Shabbos Kodesh, Parshas Vayechi. It's a parsha always associated with Aser B'Tavis. It's a parsha that always is the beginning of Golos, of Yaakov Avinu passing away, which was really the beginning of the end, which is really what Asara B'Teves is. Asara B'Teves was the beginning of the end. Nothing changed Asara B'Teves. Nothing at all. They laid siege on Yerushalayim, but everything went on for years. Nothing was changed. It's almost strange that we celebrate this day. Commemorate this day is a better word. For nothing really happened. It was just the beginning. And for those that paid attention, it all began on Asara B'Teves. Despite no change actually taking place. That is exactly what Parshas Vayechi is. Parshas Vayechi, we know, is stuma. It's a closed parsha. Because Yaakov Avinu passes away. Now nothing changes immediately. Nothing changes immediately. It's just the beginning of the end. Those that had foresight foresaw the Churban on Asara B'Teves. And those that had the foresight foresaw the Golos when Yaakov passed away. And that's really the Chizuk. So what do we sit and strengthen ourselves with on Erev Shabbos Kodesh Parshas Vayechi, where there's a stark, long, dark Golos ahead? And what do we talk about on Asara B'Teves? So on Asara B'Teves, we didn't have Yaakov to teach us. But before Golos began, there was Chizuk given to us by Yaakov. And I want to share with you that Chizuk, as that Chizuk is what we need every day. As we live in a world that Golos is being felt, perhaps the strongest as it has been felt in the last 80 years. All over the world. This is not an Eretz Yisrael thing, as many like to put it. It's a worldwide thing. What is the Chizuk? The Chizuk comes from a fellow in this week's parsha, who we bless our children, each and every single Shabbos, for many. We should be like Ephraim. And I want to share with you something absolutely intriguing about the name Ephraim. In this week's parasha, Ephraim is used where Yosef wants to make sure that Yaakov doesn't put Ephraim first because Ephraim was younger, but so special. What was so special about Ephraim? Ephraim was so special because Ephraim was a yeshiva bacher in Mitzrayim, in Egypt, who was stark. He was strong. And he remained. He was the only yeshiva bacher in the entire Mitzrayim. Do you know that? But he was strong for all that time. And when Yaakov came, he learned with Yaakov. The irony is that if you go through Tanakh, every single time you want to connotate Klal Yisrael in their low situation, in their Avodah Zarah situation, we call Klal Yisrael Ephraim. Always the Aseres HaShvatim that are doing and making trouble are called Ephraim. To the point that on Rosh Hashanah we say, Habein Yaker Li Ephraim. Because Baruch Hu says, even Ephraim, who's so awful at times, and he looks like he's covered in mud. Ki mi de dabri boy. Zochay reskerenuot. I remember him. And I love him. Even though he's Ephraim. So the question is Ephraim a name that connotates glory of Klal Yisrael? Or chas v'shalom the opposite? And the answer is, it is one and the same. Because Ephraim is the chizuk. That look at how Ephraim endured in a gullus of Mitzrayim alone. That is why even when Klal Yisrael is covered in soot, we are in gullus with in Avodah Zarah and all Averis. Because Baruch Hu calls us Ephraim. Why? That's a chizuk and a reminder to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, give Yachon to us, HaBein Yakel Ephraim. Just because you're surrounded by all of what's around doesn't mean you're bad, even if you're making mistakes. Look at my precious Ephraim in Parshas Vayechi, who we wish our children, he should be like Menashe and Ephraim. What's the bracha that despite their being in surroundings that were so decadent and so anti-Torah, look how they blossomed. That's the chizuk in Ephraim. Hashem is talking to us. You're feeling lousy and gullus. You're feeling disconnected. Don't worry. Look what Ephraim turned into. That's why we're called Ephraim every single time in gullus. Remember how precious Ephraim was, despite being in gullus. And that's how he grew even more because of that. And that's why we're called Ephraim. We need to remember that in our lows, who we still are. I heard a precious thought. Yaakovinu tells Yehuda that what? That he was kara, ravatz, kari, uchalavi miyikemenu. What a strange thing. He says, Yehuda, you're a lion. And ravatz, you're laying like a lion. You're sleeping like a lion. You're slouching like a lion. Why is that? What does that mean? I heard such a beautiful pshat. I don't remember from who. A lion, when he roars, of course is a lion. A lion, when he devours, is a lion. The lion needs to remember that when he's laying, doing nothing, he's not a cat. He's still a lion. Even when you're in your slumber, even when you're in your low, we're still a lion. Klai Yisrael, Yaakovinu pleads with Klai Yisrael that even if it's a massive of ravatz, you're laying, you're not strong. Still kari, miyikimenu. We need to think about this lesson. The Yaakov shearing, right now, at the end, with Ephraim, with Menashe, and he's shearing it with Yehuda. He's begging and pleading to his children. Look how we blossomed here in Mitzrayim. Look how far we've come. Please don't be filled with despair about the future. He begs them to look around. And he wants to share with them the geula. Why? He wants to show them, look how we've kept strong. Don't worry. Your children and grandchildren will keep strong as well. And if that happens, they will also be zeichet to a geula. Despite what we do, we need to remember who we are. We're Ephraim in glory, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu still calls us Ephraim in our downtime. I want to finish with a story that I heard. There was a wealthy man who unfortunately was not from. He was disconnected. But something very strange. He was disconnected because of Hitler, Yimach Shemoy. And the Holocaust pushed him away totally. And something very strange. Despite his disconnection in his Emuna, he was a tremendous supporter to yeshivas and kollelim, specifically. That's a totally not secular idea. You want to tell me support Jewish hospitals? You know, I don't know, kollelim and yeshivas. And someone once approached him and said, you got to explain me. You keep nothing. He was the ultimate Ephraim, who was even every idol, in the American version of idols. What's with you? He's supporting yeshivas and kollelim in a very, very meaningful way. And he said, I'll tell you. When I was 14 years old, I was sent to yeshiva by my parents. And I don't know how many of you are aware of how yeshiva Bachram 8, yeshivas had no money to support them. It was a kavod and an honor for the boys to be hosted by local families. It was called teg, which means days. You were put with the family and you ate with them the meals every day. Two meals a day, you went with this family. And he was a new boy, and they told him that he's going to go to a specific family, a fresh widow who has eight orphans, and she called yeshiva that she is happy to have a bachur come for meals. He felt uncomfortable taking food out of the mouths of a widow and eight children, eight yisaimim. He said, I'm going to try to figure it out. And he tried to get someone's leftovers and this. Finally, after a few days, the growling in his stomach was so strong that he built up the courage and he goes, I have no choice. And he knocks on the door. He knocks on the door, and all of a sudden, door opens, and their little children start jumping in joy. I say, Mommy, the Talmud Chacham is here, the yeshiva bachur is here. And they were jumping in joy, waiting. They've been waiting for days. They asked for a yeshiva bachur. Finally, he came, and he was standing there, and they were literally dancing around him, and they brought him in. The mother comes to the table with a pot filled with not that much food, and she gives all her children food and herself, and then she puts a plate in the middle. She says, does anyone want to share from their portion with the Talmud Chacham, with the yeshiva bachur? And she says, all eight children gave him half their portion. He said he ended up with a plate full and he wanted to give it back, and they all said, no, we're giving, they're fighting to give. He said, that feeling I had of how precious the yeshiva bachur is and how precious Torah is never left. Unfortunately, Hitler killed out my entire family, and I can't connect. There was too much anger and too much pain, and Chalila, we're not judging any Holocaust survivor. But he says, as far as I might have fallen, I never forgot what the value of a yeshiva bachur is. And despite being disconnected, who knows, I don't know if he married Jewish, I have no idea. He was totally, they said the story was just totally assimilated. But he still had that chashivas of Torah. What does that tell us? That as low and as far as Rachmana Litzlan, a Yid could possibly fall, he's still Ephraim. He's still there. Never behind. That's the message Yaakov Avinu says to Tzar B'Tavis tonight. And you're all wondering, what's the chizuk? It's so many years. What's the chizuk by Yechi? The chizuk is, Yaakov Avinu looks at his children and says, look, we've been here for a long time. We've been here many years already together since we're in Mitzrayim. And what? We've stayed strong. That's the chizuk to go back. Let's look around and see how Baruch Hashem, we have chizuk, we have yeshivas, we have Torah. And if that's chus beis Hashem, we are still waiting for Nisim, for Zeb David ben Sara, for Shmuel Chaim and Dina Esther, for all the other Chayla Yisrael that need, we're holding on with our emuna. And remember that chizuk for Parshas Vayechi, for Asar B'Tavis. We're always Ephraim. And like the lion, we're not no more lions when we're down. Even when we're down, we lay like a lion. We roar like a lion because we don't ever forget that we're B'nei HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and we never forget our role. No matter how low or how much we may be struggling. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a meaningful Tainus.